Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings Podcast, or Kings, depending on your vernacular. We got a guest today. We're doing a crossover pod due to the Bears having a first-round draft pick, baby. We got my man Furious George on here.
Hey, what's up? Hey, what's up, guys? Good to be here. It's kind of a momentous occasion. First round pick since Roquan. So
it's been a while.
Yeah.
What's up? Hey, man. Good having you on.
Yeah.
Glad you're here. Man.
Welcome to the Kang's Way.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. For those that are listening, I'm the host of the Full Press Bears podcast. So this will be airing on that channel as well. So if you're listening through that, check out the Three Kings of the Midway on their channel also.
For sure.
Yes, sir. So what's up to all your fans on the Full Press Bears podcast, you know? So we can merge the two audiences, you know. Your fans can hear us, and our fans can hear you. You know,
that's right.
That Bears talk, man. Especially right now. So,
Lord knows we're gonna need it for therapy in a couple days.
and that's what we're gonna jump off into.
that's what Roy always calls it—a therapy session, right? At the end of the show,
man.
He's like, "Yeah, we're here next week for your therapy session as well." So.
That's what it is for me, man. I talk to y'all fellas, man, and then I have to talk to my little bro, and we have to talk ourselves through what the Bears just did to crush our soul. So,
oh man,
it feels like they do it on purpose sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah. So we might as well jump off into it, man.
Yeah.
The draft is in less than 48 hours, right?
That's right. Thursday at 7 Central, I think.
Yep.
It's here. So I want to get everyone's thoughts on the draft, man. You know, I don't care who start. Let's just Furious George, you know, let him jump off.
This draft is interesting. So first of all, I've said this on Full Press Bears a few times. I'll say it on here with the Three Kings, but I am by no means a draft expert. I'm not one of those people that goes back and watches a lot of college tape. Just because I don't have the time or the will to go back and sit through a bunch of old tape.
Right.
I don't have a lot of knowledge about, like, if you're like, oh, what's your top five edge rushers? I'm like, I don't really even know who the top edge rusher is. Like, I'll probably recognize names, but I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. So my general thoughts, it always comes down to quarterback to me. And this draft, it also comes down to wide receiver. I think we're going to see a lot of wide receivers fly off the shelves, just like we did last year with your Henry Ruggs and CeeDee Lambs. I think you're going to see something similar with Ja'Marr Chase, Jaylen Waddle, Devontae Smith, Kyle Pitts, who's like basically a wide receiver in a tight end's body. So they're all going to be hot commodities. To me, the most interesting story is the quarterback. And everyone knows the most interesting part is, what is San Francisco going to do? There's some chatter that I've been seeing that it's likely to be Trey Lance, it sounds like, going number three, which is just interesting because Kyle Shanahan has kind of made it sound like he wanted Mac Jones. I don't know. You don't know what to expect, but as a Bears fan, the chatter the past 24 hours has just been that Justin Fields will be available after pick three, which I didn't think would happen going into draft week. So I'm pretty excited. And if the Bears are going to trade down for a quarterback, all I know is I want no part of Kyle Trask and I want no part of Davis Mills. No, I don't want anything to do with them. So
I agree with that.
Kellen Mond is like my only like trade back guy. And otherwise, as a Notre Dame fan, I'd be cool if they took Ian Book in like the seventh round.
Can't go wrong with that. Can't go wrong with that. My assessment, I'm baffled where a Big Ten quarterback and, you know, the same guy who beat out last year's number one pick is falling in this draft, which is beyond belief to me. Well, a lot of people don't understand the reason why Joe Burrow transferred to LSU. He is an Ohio kid. The reason why he transferred to LSU is because he couldn't beat out Justin Fields, who was just the number one pick in last year's draft. So now everything is coming out about, you know, he ran over a dog in the first grade on his bike. He has epilepsy. Oh, my God. He stole from the candy store when he was 2 years old. You know, like, what the – where y'all coming up with this shit at, man? Really, who dug deep? Who dug that deep into the trenches? Oh, he had epilepsy. Okay, did it affect any of the two national championship runs? No. Then what the fuck you bringing it up for? Is it to devalue him as a quarterback?
Let me just say, too, not only did he beat last year's first-round pick, but he beat this year's assumed first-round pick in the playoffs.
Beat his ass. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And the epilepsy thing, I felt like that came out of nowhere. And it said, like, Justin Fields has epilepsy in the headline. And then if you look underneath it, it said, but he'll probably outgrow it. And it's like, then this is a non-issue. Why are you even talking about this?
Exactly. And, you know, we keep harping on this, but it's to devalue the black quarterback. That's what it is, man. And people, they scream time and time again, oh, it's not race. We don't see race. What is it then? Mm-hmm. Because it was quite a few other quarterbacks who's had, you know, health issues, enlarged hearts, you know, things like that. And that was never brought up.
Well, and it's interesting that at the same time, this is like going into this, the NCAA season, it was like Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields 1 and 2 consensus. Mm-hmm. And since then, you've seen not one, but two white quarterbacks, Zach Wilson and Mac Jones. Mac Jones, who I definitely think should be valued below Justin Fields, climb above the most people's mock drafts of Justin Fields and Trey Lance. And I just think that's, considering everything you're saying, Devore, I think that's just very interesting.
Mac Jones has a DUI.
Yeah, nobody brought that
DUI
up
while he was in Tuscaloosa. Yeah,
nobody.
You know, the funny thing is, the funny thing about the whole situation is, and I want to get to this point, is that you really see how powerful the NFL is. Not only the NFL, but the teams, the owners, all of that type of stuff, because there's certain things that shouldn't be divulged, right? There's certain things that shouldn't be divulged, but I guarantee you, I don't have factual proof of it or anything like that, so don't get it twisted, but I guarantee you these teams knew about, you know, his so-called epilepsy, how long he's had it, all, you know, everything that it's all documented, right? So somehow they got their hands on his records, right?
Yeah.
In order to pull that out. And you really see how powerful they are, because there's really nothing nobody can do about it, unfortunately. And to me, I think that was a violation. It's got to be a violation. Yeah, I mean, I can't, you know, if somebody at my job has COVID, they can't tell us who it is. But you could expose this man for having epilepsy.
Yeah.
As you know what I mean? And wow. And it just came out all of a sudden. It just came out of the blue, and then they were like attached his name to it, like, oh, he just divulged that information to us. Like, to me, it just sounded kind of weird. It was strange. And, you know, he's in the position where he's trying to get drafted. So he's not going to overturn stuff and make it blow it up into a bigger problem than what it has to be. But I just feel like, you know, this is the type of stuff that people have to deal with, especially the black quarterbacks. You know, it's just been, you know, the things that he's been put through, it makes no sense. I mean, you would think he's out there literally last week throwing 3 or 4 interceptions the way he seems to be dropping week by week, right? So, you know, is he the only person currently playing right now, like throwing interceptions? What's making him drop like that? Because it's just problem after problem, thing after thing after thing. I think it's a travesty. I think it's ridiculous. You got some people that's, you know, got him going 32. Chris Sims got him going 32 in the draft.
I couldn't believe that.
You know, I mean, it makes no sense, man. Makes no sense.
I like Chris Sims too. That was the crazy part. I don't know if it's like a big smoke screen. Is this 49ers, they actually like him, so they're just throwing out all this crap so no one else pays attention to him, or they're trying to get the Jets not to want to take him, or what? If that does happen, it kind of makes sense, but outside of that, it don't make much sense, you know, that this guy's being like drugged through the mud like that. But hey, if he falls and my Bears can get him, oh well.
Exactly.
Well, the thing that I saw somebody bring up on Twitter that I thought was helpful, they said, why would the Niners be smoke screening? They have the third pick. It's almost guaranteed that it's going Lawrence Wilson. Like, why would the Niners need to fool any other teams, really, if it's the draft kind of starts at 3? And so, yeah, I don't know. I think Fields will fall, and I think he will fall to anywhere from that like 10 to 15 range, which to me is very much striking distance for the Bears.
Yeah. I think with the whole Niners situation, it goes back to what I said. You know, I think I tweeted it yesterday, but I also said it last week too. You know, at this point, the Niners are trying to decide between Mac Jones and Trey Lance. And on one hand, you have Mac Jones, who could probably play a little bit earlier than Trey Lance. Trey Lance is probably going to need a year to sit back and wait, right? So they have Garoppolo in tow. And basically what they're going to do is, if they take Trey Lance, he'll sit for a year, maybe two even. You know, he's only 20 years old. You know what I mean? So you can really get by with Garoppolo. Heck, he did take him to the Super Bowl one year, right? So you could probably get by with Garoppolo if you want to. With Mac Jones, if they want to move on from Garoppolo like during the season or at the end of this season, then they'll probably end up taking Mac Jones. That's where I'm at on that. So it's basically, you know, do they want to sit there and wait for Garoppolo, pay him a little bit more money and wait for the more athletic, talented guy? Or do they run with the guy who's got the smarts and could probably play a little bit sooner?
In that retrospect, this is where I go with, they're going to take Mac Jones at number 3, because they don't have the luxury of drafting a Trey Lance and allowing him to sit, because he's going to have to sit a whole season, right? So, you know, worst come to worst, you know, the reason why they like Mac Jones is because Mac Jones can process quickly. He can process quickly. He can learn a playbook quickly. He can diagnose a defense quickly. Trey Lance, on the other hand, you know, he is going to take him some time. And if you throw him out there, as my father always says, you can't sip that wine before it's time. So if you throw him out there a little too early, you can ruin him. And he could be, you know, Josh, what's the kid from Tampa Bay?
Josh Freeman.
He can be Josh Freeman, you know. He could be Mitchell Trubisky. You know what I'm saying? It can be ruined and can never be fixed, you know, and then will be relegated to being a career backup the rest of his career, you know, if he's thrown out there too early. That's why I think, you know, and I'm not even talking just, you know, don't let him play the whole year. I'm talking like sitting some into next year too, you know.
Yeah,
it's gonna take him some time.
Who are you talking about? You talking
Trey
about
Lance? Yeah, it's gonna take him some time. So this is all the reason why I truly believe that they're gonna go with Mac Jones, because Mac Jones, you can say what you want about him. You know what I'm saying? He looks unathletic, whatever. That boy can spin that football. And he man, some of the ways he diagnosed these defenses, man, at like the snap in an instant second, he can diagnose.
I'm just gonna be real. I think y'all giving him way too much credit. That dude was throwing to studs, bro. I mean, you got Devontae Smith, you got Jalen Waddle, you had Henry Ruggs.
He missed Jalen Waddle all season though.
Yeah, but you still had these guys, man. Alabama is loaded with talent, man. The best offensive line in the country. He had a lot of things
Harris
around
at running
him. Back. Yeah, Najee Harris at running back. You know, you got 4 wide receivers that are probably going to go, you know, back-to-back seasons, top 15.
Well,
that's who you were throwing to.
True.
You can't mess that up.
Isn't that the same thing with Joe Burrow, though?
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah, because he, I mean, look who he was throwing to. You know, he was throwing to Chase, and he was throwing to the
Jefferson.
Yeah, and he was throwing to Jefferson.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
You know, absolutely. And I mean, and I'm just gonna be honest, man. Joe Burrow came into the NFL, and he was on pace for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah,
he was lighting it up before you know his left tackle fell asleep. He was lighting it up, man. You know,
they got to get a tackle.
So, I mean, it just going through the progressions of the draft, and I'm just gonna throw this out there, right? We have a divisional foe picking at 7. I don't know why people think Detroit is not gonna take a quarterback if one of the two is still sitting there. Okay, I'm gonna tell you this now. Do you really think that Detroit, their general manager doesn't strike me as a dumb man? Okay, and he got a haul for Matthew Stafford. All right. So he got future first round picks added to his first round pick. So he's picking twice in the draft. After this draft, he's picking twice the next 2 years in the first round. Do you not think that somewhere in his wild irrationale, he's like, I know I got Jared Goff, but this motherfucker suck. Okay. I know he suck. So if one of them quarterbacks fall to me, I'm going to take him. Allow him to sit and let Jared Goff get his ass beat, because he's going to earn this money. He's going to earn his contract with him getting his ass beat. However, I'm going to let the young boy sit. I'm going to let him, because you got to understand, they don't want Jared Goff. They don't want him.
Right.
All right. That's why they got rid of Matthew Stafford. They don't want Jared Goff is a placeholder for them right now. He's not their future. He's a placeholder. And if I swear to God, I'm just going to keep saying it, and I'm going to keep banging the drum. If the Bears don't trade up to number 6, they will not get neither one of these quarterbacks. And I'm not playing, because either or. And if Detroit don't take a quarterback, New England can trade up to number 7. Chicago can't trade to 7. You want to know why? They're not going to trade with a – Detroit is not going to trade with a divisional foe.
Yeah, yeah.
So that shit ain't happening. Yeah. You have to trade to number 6. If you trade to number 8 with Carolina, guess what? You may risk the chance of not getting a quarterback.
Yep.
Yeah. You just have one. You might have one available.
Which will probably
won't be Justin Fields.
Which will probably be Trey Lance, which you can't go wrong with that. You know, you can't go wrong with that. But then again, you may be stuck with Mac Jones.
Well, the one that I'm still puzzled by is also Atlanta, because apparently they do want to keep going at Super Bowls with Matt Ryan or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like they're rebuilding their team, and it seems like a good point to offload Matt Ryan or use him as like a mentor for whomever they would select at 4. But from everything I've been seeing, they're enamored with Kyle Pitts, which, I mean, obviously, but
yeah,
I thought they would have been interested in a QB.
With Atlanta, the thing is with Atlanta is
money.
You know, Matt. Yeah, money is a huge issue.
Too much money tied into
it. Matt Ryan's contract is huge, but he is 36 years old. They feel like he can play for a couple more years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you have Julio Jones, you got Calvin Ridley, you got Matt Ryan. Well, Todd Gurley's gone now, isn't he? I don't know.
Is he?
But I think he is. But you know, they're talking about possibly getting their hands on Najee Harris or a running back, right, in the second round. So
if the Steelers don't take him.
If they don't, yeah. But, you know, they're looking at it like that. And basically what Atlanta is doing is really just retooling their defense to try to continue on, because they figure, hey, Matt Ryan's been here, Julio's been here. They want to show some loyalty to them guys before cutting bait with them, because a lot of things is optics, right? So if you got a guy and he's been your quarterback, you went to the Super Bowl with him, you got a top-notch wide receiver, to cut bait with those guys and cut him off the team, other free agents, other guys are looking at that and saying, this is how Atlanta does their, you know, stalwarts. This is how they do their cornerstones, right? So Atlanta, you know, Arthur Blank is a guy who he wants to be liked. I live out here and I hear it on the radio all the time. I hear it on shows all the time. Arthur Blank, he's loyal to his players. He's loyal to Michael Vick.
Still.
You know what I mean? With that situation that he had. So Arthur Blank, that's one thing that I can say about him is that he is very loyal to his guys. And I think he'll still try to run with them and try to make one more push at this situation.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're making one more push. And Kyle Pitts, he's a stud no matter what.
Oh, man.
And if you put him with that team, and Matt Ryan, he threw for 4,500 yards last year. It's not like this dude is a washed-up scrub.
I guess we would kill for
a quarterback. We would kill for a quarterback to throw for 4,500 yards and 26 touchdowns, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would be the best season in Bears quarterback history. You know, he just had another season. He just throws for – so, yeah, I can see that. And yeah, the 49ers, man, I think they're going to pick Mac Jones, and I think that's when the draft begins. And I'm pretty sure as soon as that pick is made at number three, teams are going to start calling. Teams are calling four, they're calling five, they're calling six, they're calling seven, they're calling eight. And it's going to be like, who's going to move up?
So if you have Niners, Jones, Pitts at four, you guys have Penny Sewell, or however you say his name, at five to the Bengals. Oh, yeah. So if six is where the Bears need to go, I feel like I've heard some people say that Miami has stated that they don't want to trade out of six. I don't know if those people are credible where I heard
they're
that.
They're not. Because I just watched NFL Network today, and he's still interested in trading back from the number six pick.
Oh, really?
I told you, he's collecting first round. He's collecting first round picks like Thanos collected Infinity Stones.
Seriously. So I think, DeVore, you're right that the Bears need to try to target six if they want two of the top five quarterbacks to choose from.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, they're going to be left with
what's left.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to pray to God that one that you pick panned out. And you don't want to be in that position.
Yeah.
You don't.
Well, Ryan Pace in his pre-draft presser today made the comment that how he has a lot of admiration for this quarterback draft because it's one of the deepest he's ever seen, which one tells you that he definitely wants to be involved in quarterback draft.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it concerns me that he's going to settle for someone who is not in the top five because he's convinced that they're still going to be a quality quarterback.
That's what that sounds like to me.
Yep.
Well, Ryan. I think the love affair with Kellen Mond is real. I think they like that dude.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they see it as six guys, you know, Trevor Lawrence, who they won't have a chance. Zach Wilson, they won't have a shot. Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, and probably Kellen Mond.
But you don't take Kellen Mond in the first round.
I wouldn't. But this is the NFL, man. That's
Ryan Pace, dumbass.
Yeah.
So, he will. He'll probably take Kellen Mond with Justin Fields there staring him in the face.
Now,
Kellen
Mond. Does that.
Like,
now, if he does that, then I might not even watch the season if he does that. But one thing that I have noticed and I'm starting to hear is that I think outside of the top 10, this draft is going to be crazy, dude. Because I think the media, who they have it on their big board and who fans like, ain't necessarily who the NFL likes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they could be like, oh, I think this guy's a top 15 pick. And the NFL's like, that dude's a second rounder. And that's when we start to see. That's the crazy part about the draft. We always see it every year. Oh, that guy had a third round grade and he went undrafted. It happens every year.
I will say, going back to Kellen Mond, something that is just a really tricky balance to figure out. I completely agree that you want to avoid taking him in the first round. But I don't know if you guys listen to the Hogue and Johns podcast at all. But yeah, Adam Hogue, he has been growing high on Kellen Mond, and his point today was, if Chris Sims has Kellen Mond as like the third quarterback of this year's draft on his list, there's no way he's the only person seeing that. There's other analysts, other NFL scouts and analysts that are also seeing that, and maybe more teams value Kellen Mond more than, and therefore his draft stock could get higher. And he was saying, I don't know if the Bears can afford to sit back to pick 52 in the second round to get if they want Kellen Mond. Like, either they need to trade back to later in the first round and take him, or trade to like the very first pick in the second round to try to take him.
This is kind of my prediction. I think they are going to try to trade up, and it's not going to be for Kellen Mond. I think they're going to try to get Justin Fields or Trey Lance, depending on if they pick. And if they can't, they'll probably pick at 20, and they'll do that thing where teams like Baltimore did it, where they'll trade back into the first round at the end. And if they like Kellen Mond that much, they'll probably pick him at like pick 32 just so they can get a fifth year option. I think I tweeted that like a couple of months ago. Like, that would not shock me. But they're, because the one thing I agree with Hogan Johns is that they are going to target quarterback. I think they're going to try to move up. But, man, me and these guys have had private discussions where I said my fear is who's going to be willing to deal with you. That's my only fear is that, yeah, I would like to jump up to six. But what if the Patriots want to jump up to the six?
Yep.
Well, they're in the same division, so they probably wouldn't.
Yeah, that won't happen. And it seems like they're our only competition because, again, if Peter King is holding serve here, the Denver Broncos are taking Teddy Bridgewater in a trade.
That's right.
So
I also heard that the Patriots might be targeting Jordan Love.
See?
Really?
Why? I don't know, bro.
They got Cam Newton. See, this is the thing, though. But see, this is the thing, though. One thing we know about Bill Belichick, he's never going to reach on a player. Never. He's not going to do that. And the fact that you still got Cam Newton there, who's still in his prime, not saying he's playing the best ball, but he's still in his prime, age-wise. I mean, is there really a desire when you got Stidham backing him up? I mean, with 1 year of NFL experience under his belt, on the back end, why would you trade up into the draft to grab somebody who's going to be sitting behind them two anyway?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in all honesty, I'm just being honest. In all honesty, and just from the back end of it, you know, after the first three are gone, let's say you're left with Lance and Fields. Ain't now one of them starting over Cam Newton.
You know, well, Fields will.
There's no way that
not Cam now. Newton
Fields will.
Not now.
A couple weeks, dude. He'll ball. That boy can ball, man.
We know he can ball, but what I'm saying is that the ability to – it's not like – okay. It's not like Madden where you finna go out here, cut on the game, and all right, you got to diagnose coverages and everything else. And the fact that if this was back in the day, maybe, if it wasn't COVID, maybe, because remember, when these cats got drafted, they got on the plane and they went to the facilities. You can't do that now. They're not seeing the facility until July.
So let me ask you this then. If Belichick would never move up for a guy, if the quarterbacks are falling on the board, do you think the Patriots are a good trade candidate for the Bears to trade up to?
15?
Well, I'm just saying in a hypothetical, like let's say we get to pick 12 and Lance and Fields or Jones and Fields are still on the board.
I don't think Ryan Pace is that patient.
I don't.
As soon as three is up, he's on the phone with Atlanta, but Atlanta's not going to trade because they want Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
So he's going to be on the phone with like Atlanta. Hey, I'm offering you the world. No, click. Bengals, I'm offering you the world. Click. You know, that's how it's going to be. Soon as it happens, he's not going to be that patient. And unless those guys are gone, and I think it's a wrap.
So how much do you think that he's going to have to give up to move like to six with Miami?
Two ones. That's the price.
Including 20, like 20 and 2 ones?
Or pick 20 swap. And 2 ones.
Oh, yep.
That's pick, what's going to get it done.
Swap picks and then two additional picks.
That's what's going to get it done.
It's going to be,
which is insane to me only because that's what they offered for Russell Wilson, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's basically what it's going to be.
And I was frustrated because everyone was like, oh, they gave up everything for Russell Wilson. I was kind of like, not really. I felt like, compared to some of the other trades, like the Laremy Tunsil trade and stuff, like for the most important position in football and one of the top five quarterbacks, they really weren't giving up that much in comparison to other trades. And here they're going to give up basically the same package for somebody that has no starting experience in the NFL. That just kind of blows my mind.
Well, the only reason you can say that it makes logic or makes sense is that if you look at it like this, it's an unknown product, right? It's an unknown. But the Bears were drafting in 20.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, you know, with a bad quarterback, with Andy Dalton, what do we go, 8-8? You know what I'm saying? We're drafting at 20 again. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So every year you don't have the chance to get the top guys because you're not drafting in the top five. You're not drafting, you know, one overall.
He's never drafting the top five.
You know what
I'm
saying? Exactly. So we're always down there. I mean, you know, we had sevens and, you know what I mean, things like that. But for the most part, we're not in the top part of the draft. So at this point, do you just hold steady and say, well, let's wait and wait and wait? Or do you go all out? And if you go all out, you're going to have a guy for 5 years anyway because you're drafting him in the first round. So you got the fifth-year option. And if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out. But, you know, what are you really losing? You know what I mean? They're not drafting that great in the first round anyway.
That's
we got
fair.
Roquan, and that's pretty much it.
And you got to get this quarterback right. Like, this is crazy, man, the fact that we've never had a guy. Like, you got to end this. Like, we can't keep – like, I get that theory, like, oh, we're giving up too much. And I'm like, okay, we've been building up the entire roster – And then we neglect the quarterback. What has that gotten us? It's gotten us 9-7, 8-8. You know,
we'll luck up 1 year and go 11-5 or 12-4.
With the defense, they get a couple turnovers, and we're like, yay! You know, 2018, the 2005 Bears or 2010 Bears, and then we just flame out because our quarterback can't do nothing.
And they blundered it in 2017, right? The year before that, the last quarterback that we chose in the first round before that was Rex Grossman?
Right? Yeah, Rex Grossman,
And that was, think about it, we were drafting, that wasn't in the upper, that wasn't in the top of the draft, that was in the middle, what was he, 13, 14? No, he was later than that, 16 or 17.
Yeah, he was later than that.
Yeah, wow. Something like that. So we were, I mean, because we were good at that point. We had a good defense and things like that. So we're in the situation that we're in right now. We're decent enough to be on the cusp of the playoffs every year.
Yep.
And we don't suck bad enough to get a really, really good quarterback.
I will say I'm not against them trading a bunch to get Fields or Lance or Jones, whomever. For me, it was more of it's a bigger indictment on the Russell Wilson attempt, because I guess I felt that they should have thrown even more at Seattle because Wilson's worth that, in my opinion. So, like, I don't have a problem with them trading necessarily two future firsts and 20 to get Fields, because I do think Fields will be awesome in the NFL. But because he is technically unknown, I think it's says a lot about the Bears that they weren't giving up how much they really needed to get Wilson. That's my point.
Great point.
Yeah, I get you. I just don't know how motivated Seattle was to trade Russell Wilson.
They talked like they wanted him out the building, but then when somebody called they bluff, they didn't want him to go anywhere.
No, they don't want him gone.
How badly does Houston want to get rid of Watson at this point?
They don't. That's why they came up with these. Listen.
How much? Okay, yeah. Let me hear. I'm curious to hear your perspective, because when it first popped up, all this stuff, I was like, this seems very convenient. But they had such a large number that it starts to make you wonder. So I'd be curious to hear you guys' point of view on that situation.
My point of view on the whole Deshaun Watson ordeal was this was coerced between the owner, his father's friend, which is the prosecutor, and the women that they knew Deshaun Watson was going, was seeing, these Instagram women that Deshaun Watson was seeing. You know, and this is all about, I mean, we have to understand something, that his father said clear right, just downright, you cannot let the inmates run the asylum. Let that sink in for a minute. You cannot let the inmates run the asylum. Now, that was Bruce McNair. That was his comments when the whole kneel for Kaepernick taking a knee for social injustice, and how he stated, you know, damn that, my players are going to respect the national anthem because I own them, and we are not going to let the inmates run the asylum. So with that being said, now this is very deeply rooted here. and a very deep and ordeal, right? But let me just break it down for you. It's very lengthy, but I want people to understand this. If a owner has these type of beliefs and mindset, right? Majority of them do. They old rich white men. You know what I'm saying? So you got to understand, a lot of them in their 60s and 70s. You know what I'm saying? So and they're from the deep south. So they have these
traditions,
traditional views, right?
Yeah.
On how things should run. So again, if the older apparent, you know, if the older McNair had these views, then of course he taught this to his heir apparent, Cal McNair. And when Deshaun Watson voiced his displeasure playing for this franchise and how things were going to go, right? This was a act of disrespect to Cal McNair. And he looked at it as, oh, okay, you want to be traded. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Everything that I've given to you, I'm going to strip you of. I'm going to strip you of your popularity. I'm going to strip you of your likeness. I'm going to strip you of all your endorsements. I'm going to strip you down to literally nothing. And I'm not going to verbally or physically harm you. But what I'm going to do is similar to public lynching. And I'm going to make you look so filthy in the eyes of America that no one is going to want you when I'm done with you. And then you're going to have nothing else to do but to crawl back to me and beg me to let you play. Because at the end of the day, you're going to play for no one else but me at the end of the day. And you need to learn your place, because you are a player. You're not an owner. I sign your contracts. And you, if you think that you're going to control your future while you're on my team, you got another damn thing coming. And I'm going to show you how deep this can get. And I'm going to show you how well connected I am. We will ruin you before we give you away. Just to prove a point.
See, like I agree with a little bit of that. And then I also have a viewpoint on it as well, where I believe that when it comes to the Deshaun Watson situation, there's so many that you have to give it breath, right? You got to look at it and say, man, what's going on here? So that's the way I look at it with Deshaun Watson. I think Deshaun Watson was into whatever he's doing, go get these massages, see how far it could go, whatever the case may be. I don't think he probably, maybe, I don't even know want to say what I think he may have done or not done or anything like that, but he would try to see how far things could go, right? And that's what he's, whatever his fetish or whatever you want to call it, that's what he's into. They got wind of that somehow.
Yep.
And they kept it under wraps, right? And at the appropriate time, they okay, we'll do this. But you gotta look at it deeply, though. You gotta look at it for the whole situation. Deshaun Watson just signed a contract last
huge
year.
Contract.
Yeah. Last offseason. So he got paid. He got a signing bonus. He got everything that he needed, right? So there's some bitterness there when a team and I knew this was gonna, I'm not gonna say I knew this was gonna happen, but I knew Deshaun Watson was not gonna stay there. He took that money and he said, I wanna be traded. And he took the money to spite them. I'm gonna be honest with you. If you go back and you watch, there's an ESPN program that talked about Year of the Black Quarterback.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right? If you go on there and you really listen to what Deshaun Watson was saying on there, you knew this was what he was gonna do. He was gonna sign the contract, take the money, and then say, hey, I'm out. Trade me. And that was his way of getting them back, taking them for some cash, and then leaving out the door as well. So, I mean, and it's no, you know, that's fine, because teams do it all the time. But see, players don't do it. You see what I'm saying? So there's a little bit of bitterness on Houston's part, and I know it is. How deep and how involved they were, it remains to be seen. You know what I mean? And if it is a situation where they're culpable, like they knew about this type of behavior or whatever the case may be, or it's lies that are perpetrated against this guy, then, you know, they need to answer to some type of criminal charges or whatever you want to call it.
I mean, defamation,
as of right now, though, yeah, defamation of character, all of that stuff. But as of right now, it's not criminal yet, right? Right. So at this point in time, if the Bears turned around tomorrow and traded for Deshaun Watson, I'd be happy. He's not under any. I mean, it's all,
it's, you know, all, it's civil, all, still,
it's
anyway,
all civil stuff. It's, yeah. Criminal. So
now, wouldn't that rock the draft?
Exactly.
All right. Well, exactly. So I was gonna ask, like, so do you guys think there's any shot that movement of Deshaun Watson could happen before or on draft night?
No.
No.
What about Russell Wilson?
No.
No.
All right. I haven't heard any.
If they were going to do it, they would have did it by now.
Okay.
They would have did it by now. And, you know, it just, if they was going to make that move, they would have done it by now. You know, the crazy thing about it, though, to piggyback off what Dan said, I think the Texans first knew about it and then start doing their deep digging.
Yeah,
when
research.
When the female contacted player personnel department, mm-hmm, or whatever, and start trying to extort for money, and he, mm-hmm, asked her, well, whatever you did, you know, whatever y'all did, was it consensual? And she was like, well, yeah, but if you don't pay me X amount of dollars, I'm gonna go public with it. He's like, man, get out of here. Mm-hmm. And then that's when, you know, he brushed her off, and that's when I think it got to the owner, and the owner probably had it in his back pocket, was like, yeah.
Yeah, these guys know. Remember, these guys got a lot of money. Remember, they had a babysitter for Dez Bryant?
Yep.
They literally hired a grown man to watch Dez Bryant, the Cowboys did.
Yeah.
Like, Michael Irvin was talking about, oh, I would get in a car crash, and then I would call my agent, and they would, like, send cleaners out there to come, like, clean it up, and, like...
They would do anything. Like, in Dallas, I lived in Dallas. They had a place called the White House. You ever heard of Minnesota with the boat? Right?
Yeah.
I know y'all heard about that. Mm-hmm. In Dallas, they had a White House. It was called the White House. Anything could go there. They would allow the players to go there, take women there, do dope, drugs, whatever. You know what I mean? And it was just, you know, the cops didn't bother them. They knew that was Jerry Jones's house that he had set up for them players. They would go there. They would hang out, do whatever they wanted to do. And it was out of scene. It was out of sight. It wasn't in the club. They wasn't in the club. So, mm-hmm, you had no issues there.
About the club,
it was
to the
at
house.
That. It was at that house, and that's it. It was called a
and
way.
You know how you know how Jerry Jones get the police off his back? You go down to that, be like, oh, police chief, here's a donation. How many? Do you have any police dogs? Here. Here's $1 million. Go buy yourself some nice vehicles. That's how they do it, bro.
Yeah.
That's how money works.
That's it.
Hey, just don't go to that house. Okay, cool.
But see, most people don't want to know this stuff, right? Because it taints the image of, oh, this is our beloved NFL. This is the shield. This is the team. This, I love these guys. You know what I mean? And you see these guys on, man, come on.
Yeah, they're human beings.
Let's be real. Robert Kraft was doing the same thing almost.
But yeah,
Sean
Watson
did, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
he just had money.
Yeah,
he just had way more money. Make it go away.
What, the day before the Super Bowl, didn't he get a happy ending? They had him on video, right?
Yep.
Come on, man. Like for real. The
only difference is his best friends are politicians and senators.
Say,
exactly. And for the ladies listening, we're not saying that, you know, y'all don't deserve to be heard and things like that. But I'm just saying this is the type of situations that you run into in the NFL with pro athletes, with sports, with politicians even. With all these different types of people, there's nothing. Things will blow your mind. Let's just put it that way.
No, I think you said it really well earlier, because you were saying, like, with especially with the volume of women that have come forward,
mm-hmm,
you can't just brush it off entirely. Mm-hmm. Like, you do have to take a minute. Like, let's actually examine these cases, hear what these women have to say.
Right.
Kind of go from there, but
it's too many. He is a fool for getting himself into that situation. It was nonsensical to do that anyway, because you're a pro athlete. Anything could have happened. These are women that you don't even know. Guys get set up all the time. You walk in there and you think you're going to get a massage. She's got you in there naked, and four or five dudes come running in.
That's Atlanta, you know what right I mean? There.
Yeah. It happens the ATL. All the time. It happens, man.
They do that in the ATL. But yeah, that's how my view is that he was reckless, man. If something else came up like this with my boy, man, Chicago's own Derrick Rose. Remember, he was caught up in that civil case where him and his boys were like had the girl in the house.
He went family style. He was tripping, man.
Bro, like they were like ganging up on a girl, and the lawsuit came out. I think it's something like that. And if he did, and we already said this, if he actually forced himself on a woman. Then they need to go to the police and he need to be prosecuted.
Absolutely. Right?
So we've always said that. Like,
exactly. You know,
so we're not defending his actions. If he did something, he violated somebody, he needs to be taken care of. And boom, he's done. Sorry, bro. You can't, you know,
brought that on yourself.
But dads, we don't play that. You know what I mean?
But this is my thing. These type of women,
I know what you want to say.
These type of women. Man. That, especially the ones that came forward, if anyone looked at them, you know what type of women they are. Okay. They call girls. All right. Let's just what it is. Yeah, you may be a masseuse, whatever, whatever. That's the bullshit that you throwing out there, but we know what you are. You're a call girl. Okay. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you was cool and down with the whole scenario because you wanted that bag. You got that bag. You went on your way. All right. And you wanted to get the bigger bag after you were contacted by the prosecuting attorney saying, hey, we can do A, B, and C, and D and possibly end up with Z. Don't you want to do that?
Yeah, like a class action lawsuit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Put your name to it. Oh, you too? Put your name to it. Yeah. Did you see him? Put your name to it. Whatever. Just to ruin him publicly. Yeah. All right. This is what's going on. Now, did he do it to himself? Yes, he did. In my opinion. That's his fault.
And what DeVore is saying is true, because if you look at the stories, you got 21, I think it's 21 women or 22 women.
22.
Of those stories, which ones actually came out and spoke? The ones that painted him in the worst situation, right? Like had him doing the things that are questionable.
The booty hole tickle with the oil, everything. So like, come on,
You can see those are the two that the most egregious ones came out, right? Like what you might be into or whatever.
Right.
You know, hey, that's him. You know what I mean? That ain't me. But I'm just saying, those are the two that came out. It wasn't the, you know, this happened or that happened or this happened or that happened. It was the two ones that would make everybody, you know, point and laugh at the dude. You know what I mean?
To humiliate him. Which is crazy. And like I said, these ain't the most respectable looking women that you will run across. You know, not saying that would be the case, but listen, these ain't the most respectable, okay? You wouldn't bring these women to your mother to meet her. And I'm telling the honest to God truth.
Let's get back on the Bears now. Yeah.
We going on this tangent about the show. I said we were going to go off the rails, right?
Yeah, you did. You did tell me that. Yeah. I brought it's my fault. I brought it up. But I do appreciate hearing your guys' point of view on it. So I was curious. I know Roy, I put it in our little DM from earlier. The question, like, what is your guys' worst nightmare scenario for the Bears with this draft?
With the number 20 pick, the Chicago Bears select Kyle Trask of University of Florida. I can't think of another scenario that would make me that. Like, I don't care if they pick a cornerback as long as he's legit. I don't care if they pick the tackle as long as he's legit. I don't care if they pick the wide receiver, a quarterback, a freaking guard. If they can play, they can play. But if you pick Kyle Trask, number 20, I'm going to lose my shit. Or you pick any other quarterback and Justin Fields is on the board. Like, he better come out like that man better be like paralyzed. His medicals better be like he's not going to be able to walk by the time he comes to camp. Because that's the only way those two scenarios for me are like worst case.
Worst case scenario for me is if the Chicago Bears select that shit from Stanford.
Yeah, that's where I'm with DeVore on this one.
I'm on that too. That too. Yeah. You can have that.
Select that shit from Stanford.
I mean, I'm sorry. Even the name, like Davis Mills, is just like it does nothing.
Two first names. Two last names.
Yeah. It just does nothing for me at all.
That music is garbage.
Straight up trash, man.
Oh, man.
Trash. Davis Mills.
For me, it's the top five and Kellen Mond. Anybody else, I honestly don't even want unless you can get them fifth round or later.
I'll feel the same way.
Like, if Davis Mills is still there at the end of the fifth round, sure.
Why not?
Yeah. But otherwise, yeah, no, I'll pass.
Yeah, seven touchdowns and three interceptions, man.
First of all, Kyle Trask, I was watching whatever bowl game Florida was in, and I just remember in the first half he threw like four interceptions or something. And it's like, yeah, nope, done with that. And then Davis Mills, I haven't watched that much tape, but
you don't have that much.
That and everything I read about him, I'm just like, so this is just Mitch Trubisky again. Awesome. Mm. Perfect.
Mm. All day, every day.
That's a good comparison. I mean, yeah.
13 starts
in 2 years, though. In 2 years,
he was a 5-star blue chip. Like what? Who gives a shit?
How many touchdowns than interceptions?
So was what? What's his name? Bo Dix from Auburn. He's trash. Yeah. He was a 5-star.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. My worst case scenario is the Bears do something stupid like reach for somebody that they shouldn't, right? Right. You know, that's my worst case scenario. I'm just going to be real. Worst case scenario to me is we don't get one of the top five quarterbacks. That's it. Anything, I'm at the point where I'm so frustrated with the Bears and the you know, because to me, Nagy has always given a reason why his system doesn't work. He scapegoated players. He scapegoated coaches. He scapegoated everybody, right? So now we have a situation where we're collaborating on this. We're collaborating on this. That was the collaborative effort that they were putting forth, right? So when you do that, to me, I'm saying to myself, get a quarterback, and anything besides getting one of these top five quarterbacks, getting one of these top five quarterbacks is a failure, and they need to go immediately. Period.
Fire their ass.
Yeah.
ASAP.
Yeah. That's nightmare scenario. I don't even care about the draft after that. If we don't get one of the top five quarterbacks,
yeah,
it don't matter.
Ain't no point in watching it.
We're gonna be in the same situation. Yeah,
that's all I've been studying is the quarterbacks, dude. Like, I've been in mine's is a little bit further. I extended mine recently, like the past probably week to mine. So I got six guys. If you don't get one of those six guys, to me, that's all I care about. I've studied. Well, I ain't studied Lawrence because I know we ain't got no shot. But I used to study Zach Wilson, but I realized we ain't gonna have him a shot. But Fields, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, and Kellen Mond, I have watched so many breakdowns. Freaking Kurt Warner, JT O'Sullivan. Watched every individual throw they had in their bowl games. And I'm like, if you can't get one of those guys to me, then yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
You know,
scare money don't make money, man.
Yeah.
Damn right.
I think that, again, Dan, you said it well. Like, at this point, the Bears, you just need the top five. And going back to earlier, you really just got to give up whatever it takes to get that. I mean, if you're trying to keep any of your future picks, do you guys see any players the Bears would be willing to give up to move up there?
They shouldn't be. You know, in all honesty, though, you know, they shouldn't be able to give up. They shouldn't have to. Because the closer you get to the draft, the less you should have to pay.
True.
And that's the honest to God truth. You know, the closer you get to the draft, who the fuck do we have that another team would want anyway?
Roquan.
It'd just be like Roquan,
yeah,
Bilal Nichols.
Roquan, Bilal Nichols. I'd give up Roquan or Bilal Nichols easily.
Yeah.
I mean, because, and I'm not saying that because I'm taking him for granted.
Yeah.
Allen Robinson.
Speaking of, I'm so sick of him. You know, he was in the press again today.
I didn't listen to his
unhappy Piccolo Award.
Yeah.
Piccolo Award. Okay. Yeah.
Unhappy that, you know, he had to sign the franchise tender, but then as soon as the Bears got to talking to
Galladay,
he quickly hurried up and signed it, because I think if he wouldn't have signed that franchise tender, and it's the honest to God truth. If he wouldn't have signed that franchise tender and we would have signed Galladay, he wouldn't have been back. And he probably would have been released and probably signed for like $8 or $9 million and probably would have played himself out of probably another additional $8 million. Honest to God truth.
And now he's saying that he doesn't really want to show up for voluntary OTAs and stuff, which, by the way, Pace is being, I don't know. Pace is like, I expect full participation at
after
voluntary
an 8-8
OTAs.
Season, after an 8-8 season, it better be full goddamn participation.
You know what it will be? It depends who they draft. And we were texting about this.
If it's
Justin Fields, that's going to change A-Rob's attitude a whole lot.
I'm going to be real with you, though. I'm not going to fault A-Rob if he doesn't show up for voluntary for a reason. You can volunteer. You volunteer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
true.
It's not a requirement. So if I'm on a franchise tag, then I'm not doing nothing that I ain't got to do if I'm on a franchise tag. So I'm not going to knock him for that, even though I don't like what he does and a lot of stuff that he stands for right now. But I'm not going to knock him for that because I wouldn't do it. I'm not going to ask nobody else to do something that I wouldn't do myself.
Fair enough.
So where do you guys all have – this is going back to the draft. You guys all have Najee Harris as the number one running back?
No, I don't. Well, I got Pookie as the number one running back. Pookie from North Carolina.
Okay.
Boy, so, Malcolm, I like that. He's a big UNC. But it's roll tide for me.
Najee Harris really should have been a Trojan. But I don't know how the hell. Look, which goes back. You are from California, right? You from California.
What made you go to
Tuscaloosa, Alabama if they wasn't paying you?
Yeah.
I mean, just let that sink in for a minute.
This is the resident Roll Tide fan, Roy, and every time we mention that, you don't do nothing but smile. And it's a reason why.
Hey, check this out. You know that happens in college, man. You got those boosters, man. Like, Alabama, just like USC, they had their run. We had our run in the 90s. And then eventually you get caught up, and then it all goes down, and you know, you're under sanctions, and they take a championship back, and then you're back. It happened to USC, man. Those boys were getting paid, man.
Yeah.
USC was running full NFL teams out there with a Pete Carroll, dude.
Get a little money in your pocket after the game and stuff like that. You
know? Odell Beckham Jr. was at LSU just handing out money on Instagram Live or whatever.
And got him on probation because of that. Yeah. Got the whole Les Miles ordeal looked into, kissing girls in the mouth and shit. Like, what the hell is going on out here?
He was hot. They were recording him. He was tripping. He was off one. Yeah, man, it happens, man. Like, I remember my cousin played ball. He went to those ABCD camps with Chris Webber and Jalen Rose. Mm. And he was yeah, man, people get paid. He said, I just wasn't good enough to get paid. D1 athlete, though.
They get paid, man. Definitely.
They getting paid. Yeah.
I was just curious because I was curious when you guys think the first running back will go. Because I've seen some people say maybe not even until round two.
Pittsburgh will take one of them.
Miami too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Miami's gonna take one.
Do you think Miami would draft a running back at 6?
No, not at 18. 6. They got 2 first round. They got 2 first round picks.
Oh, where's their second at?
18.
Yeah, oh, 18. Okay.
And what's crazy about that is that they are picking 4 times in the top 50.
Dang.
Yeah, stashing. Grabbing picks.
Yep. Well, I'd be happy to give them a few more if they'd let us move up to 6.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I would too.
That
would make my day, man.
Whew. That's right.
All the way.
I think Najee is probably the best running back out there. I think he's good. I like Chuba too.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I haven't really studied the running backs at all. Najee is just the one name that I know, especially since he was in the Heisman conversation. So I just thought I'd ask.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's awesome. Real. That's real.
Yes, sir. So we talked about who we like. What do we think is going to happen? I want to hear like predictions. Like we got like what we would do. What we would like to happen, but then we got reality.
Yeah.
what do we think is a likely, what do you think, what do you want to happen, and what do you think is actually going to happen?
On everything, what I think is actually going to happen is the Bears are going to trade up. I just don't know who are we going to get, because I don't know who will be available. But I have a good feeling that we have a good shot at Trey. Not Trey Lance, but Justin Fields. We have a good shot at Justin Fields. And or Trey Lance. We got a good shot at either one of them. But the thing
is, they gotta have a guy they like. You know, they got a guy.
Well, if we go to Chicago Bears logic, the guy that they like, you know, we love, but the guy that they like, there's not gonna be available for them. But they still need a quarterback. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So the ones that they like are gonna probably go 1, 2, and 3. They're probably gonna go 1, 2, and 3. So, and what's gonna be left is what they try to shy themselves away from since the beginning of time. So we'll see, man. We'll see.
Yeah. Cause you know, like I put that part on the organization, but I think who I'm looking at during this draft, because you even hear Ryan Pace kind of defer to three guys, Nagy, Flip, and Lazor. The one thing I got from that press conference, he said those guys have played the position. So I think like what he's accepting, he's like, hey, I didn't play the position. When I pick Mitch, I'm a defensive end. These guys are quarterbacks. So I'm sure they have a different evaluation than what Ryan Pace had. You know, because Ryan Pace knows the hell he's looking at. He's a defensive end. That's why he picks good defensive linemen. Like, you notice he's good at picking defensive linemen? Mm-hmm. Like, everyone he picks is good. He can't pick quarterbacks. So I think he's looking at Nagy, Flip, and Lazor to say, which one of these guys can play quarterback? And that's the guy I'm going to try to go get. You know, like, I don't think those guys come with that. You know what I mean? Like, oh, no, he has to be, you know, he can't be a black quarterback. Because Nagy coached Vic and Mahomes. I don't think that applies as much with them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and I think he was there. Was he there? I don't think he was there. McNabb. I don't know or not. But out of those guys, who seems like a quarterback that Nagy, Flip, and Lazor will want out of those guys? Out of Mac Jones, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance. Screw Ryan Pace. He don't know what the hell he's doing with quarterbacks. Who is that guy?
Out of the quarterbacks that would be remaining, what scares me is the two that I think, and I don't really have much reason why I think this, I just have this deep down feeling, the two quarterbacks that Nagy would handpick would be either Lance or Mond. And the reason I feel that is just a little, if you look back at some of the criticisms of Pat Mahomes, which a lot of people give Nagy some credit for in helping select at KC, I feel like some of that matches with some of the critiques of Mond and Lance, some of their playing style. Of course, it's a little tricky because like Mond has a lot of college experience. Lance is a little more limited, but I think they're both kind of a similar player. And I think that's kind of who Nagy would want, which is unfortunate to me because I do think Fields is going to be the one that is probably the best available guy for where the Bears will be.
Mm-hmm. So what do I think the Bears will do? What do I want them to do? Well, I want them to trade up. I want them to trade up, and I think my sights are set on that sixth spot as well. We discussed that earlier. Mm-hmm. Being able to trade up, at least to try to get into that sixth spot, is what I would do. And I'm willing to give up what they want, man. If they want Roquan, if they want Bilal Nichols, if they want two first, okay, let's make it happen. You know, I think we're at a point where this is what we need, because I don't want there to be any ambiguity about it, right?
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, it's Nagy. It's
yep.
You got to go. You know what I'm saying? So I don't want them to say, well, we missed on the quarterback. You know, and then, you know, we're sitting here waiting and doing the same thing again next year. Get somebody this time. That's what I want them to do. What do I think is going to happen? For some strange reason, I think we're going to be on the outside looking in. I said this, I think, 5-6 weeks ago. I think we're going to be on the outside looking in for some strange reason.
Typical Bears fashion.
you know, something's going to go wrong, deal will fall through, whatever the case may be, they won't want to give up something. It'll be something like they left something on the table that they didn't, you know, they could have made the deal happen, but they you know, they held back on something. And it's going to be something stupid too, right? We'll find that out later on down the road. And I think what will happen is we'll end up drafting, you know, and somebody else will end up getting Kellen Mond. You know, you're putting your eggs into that basket. I think somebody else is going to grab him before we can in the second round. So we'll draft somebody. We'll draft a tackle in the first round at 20, and then we'll turn around and they'll make a panic move and they'll draft something stupid. So, I don't know what that is yet, but I'll try to figure that out between now and Thursday.
Yeah, I'd say what I want is I want one of the top five, like you guys have been saying. And the more I look into it, the more I want Justin Fields, even over Trey Lance, I'd say. Like, I value him above Trey Lance. And, I would want them to do whatever it takes to get there. But I also agree that I think what will happen is, one, based on Pace's comments today, I think because he's like, oh, it's such a deep draft, I think he feels there's maybe not as much urgency to get up super high in the draft to get a quality quarterback in his evaluation.
Yep.
So I think, Dan, just like you said, I think they're going to sit back, take someone like, if he's there, like a Christian Darrisaw or whomever, whatever the best tackle is, and take them at 20. And I think at that point, they're going to be trying their darndest to get to wherever they think Kellen Mond will be.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't hate that scenario, but I definitely wouldn't love it.
I wouldn't love it either.
I would hate it because this is a very deep tackle draft. You can get a tackle in the second round. Yeah. You don't fuck around with the main, with the captain of the ship.
Yeah,
but they've been doing it though. They've been messing around with it.
Exactly, and I understand that. But this is why you can't fuck around, is because your job is on the line.
Yeah, this is
supposedly.
I don't think it is.
Allegedly. I don't think it is.
Allegedly. I think they're gonna try to move up. I do think they're gonna try to do that. The problem is when you paint yourself in a corner, when you're a mediocre team and you go 8-8 and you make the wild card, you pick at 20. So you're in this purgatory where you're not good enough to be a contender, but you don't suck enough to pick in the top five to get like a top five quarterback. So you're in this purgatory, right? So because they're in this purgatory, it puts them in a bad position. So they have to try to move up, and to move up from 20 to 6, they're going to have to offer a lot. Yep. And then the other team that they're offering it to is going to have to accept it. So let's say for whatever, because Bill Belichick has been going crazy this year, right? He's been spending money in free agency, right? He's never done that. Well, let's say it's between us and Bill Belichick. They're going from 15 to 6, and we're trying to go from 20 to 6, and we got the same exact offer on the table. They win.
Yep.
And then now, so I'm just saying hypothetically, then you're boxed out.
But I'm going to tell you how they don't win, because who's expected to have a better record coming into this season? Because we can offer two number ones. New England can offer two number ones. But who's going to be better?
But I'm
nine
saying,
times out of ten, New England is going to be better than we are.
But listen,
so our first round pick could be higher than what New England could possibly offer, because we're going to fucking suck. I'm going to tell you the truth, man. I don't expect no more than five wins this season.
I don't think they got too much talent. They got too much talent. This is what I'm trying to say. And right now, you're not looking ahead, because those are mystery boxes, right? This is the NFL. Anything can happen. Right now, they have 15. You have 20.
I'm taking 15 every time.
I'm taking 15. Yeah. And now you may not. And that's my fear, is that they're going to try. I want them to move up and get Justin Fields, but I still understand it may not happen. And if it doesn't, what I think will happen, that's what I want to happen. I want them to move up and get Justin Fields or Trey Lance.
But who would New England trade with? Because the Dolphins ain't finna help them.
They can be at number 8.
That's what Carolina. If
the Dolphins don't move?
I think they would trade with the Lions. The Lions
would trade with the Lions.
A long history of like the Patriot way, bringing it to Detroit.
Yeah. So what if they trade with the Lions? But, well, what if Miami says, well, you know, we're not going to trade six. We want to get Devontae Smith and pair with Tua.
Good luck.
Boom, we're not trading. We got enough first round draft. Then it's the Lions, and the Lions are like, shit, oh, yeah, we'll take that haul.
Yeah.
And they ain't going to trade with us. I'm just saying it's a scenario where this could just happen.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't know how it's going to happen, but if that happens, I truly think the Bears like Kellen Mond. I don't think they're going to wait to the second. I think they'll pick whoever, and it may be a wide receiver. It may not even be a tackle who they pick in the first round.
Remember, they tried to sign Galladay. That'd be stupid.
I do think, though, that I agree with you guys that they're going to make an effort to trade up.
They'll trade back into the first round. I have no doubts if they can't get who they want.
I'm saying I think they will make an effort to trade up from 20, but the problem is the same thing that happened with Russell Wilson is going to happen here, where it's going to be just not quite enough. Mm-hmm. And when they have their post-draft press conference, Ryan Pace is going to go up and say, well, we tried real hard, guys. Mm-hmm. We did the best we could, and we just couldn't quite get it.
And I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody do.
Been the same with Russell, Trent Williams, Kenny Galladay.
Yep.
Right? We were right. We put
second
an offer.
Fiddle. Yep.
But see, I mean, that's the Bears' MO. Look at the Kenny Galladay situation. This is what I was saying, where they make an effort, but it's a fake effort. It's not real. It's not tangible. It's not. It's something that they're not gonna accept. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So yeah, we made a trade. We tried to go up, and you tried to sucker somebody into taking something stupid. They offered Kenny Galladay $11 million a year. Mm-hmm. You turn around and got what, 18 and a half, 19 almost. Right, with the New York Giants. Mm-hmm. So if you really wanted Kelly Galladay, you could have made him a better offer than that, but you didn't. This is what you offered him. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you faked like you wanted to get him, but you didn't really want him. And he wanted to come to Chicago too, by the way. Yeah. He wanted to be in Chicago.
Yeah, so. They ain't got no cap space. Well, I'm just saying, I can see that happening. Like, with me, to be honest, it's only a few things that will really take me off with the draft, because the way it works, this is how it works. We all got our likes and our dislikes, right? I remember last year, people were upset that the Bears didn't pick KJ Hamler out of Penn State with the second pick, right? We ended up getting a better receiver in the fifth round,
right?
Darnell Mooney.
Right.
That's why, like, on the grand scheme, there are guys I don't like, but it's a reason why I don't like them. I just don't like them. Like, I say, well, I don't like Davis Mills because, I mean, he played like 12 games, right? And his numbers weren't even all that when he played. So that's like, it's a reason, but I don't know how these guys are going to work out. If they draft them, I'm going to give them a chance. Like I said, unless it's just somebody that I just think isn't good at all, regardless, I'm going to give them a shot. You know what I mean? But it's, I think they might trade up. They're going to move around, in my opinion, whether they move up, whether they stay put, or they trade back in the first round, or use the third pick to move up, or the second. It's going to be some, I think they're going to do some crazy stuff, dude. I don't think they're just going to lie down and die. My fear is just that they may have a hard time trying to trade all the way up.
Yeah.
That's my only fear. I think they'll try.
It'll be difficult. It'll be very difficult to do.
If anybody can do it, Pace can do it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mortgage the damn future.
He offered fourth picks.
Yeah, what's going to happen is he's going to mortgage the future. They're going to draft. They're going to like trade up to six, draft Kellen Mond, and then the Bears will.
I told you that's
tank
that's,
next season.
Yeah.
He'll get fired. Then we're screwed for another decade.
Even if you were going to pick Kellen Mond in the first round, which is crazy, you don't even have to trade up to get him. He'll be there.
I know. I'm just
know, but that would be crazy.
It just feels reaching like to grab somebody who that's a Ryan Pace move, reaching to grab somebody that was already going to be there.
Conviction.
I don't think Ryan Pace is making his quarterback decision.
Nah, I really think Matt Nagy's making the decision.
I think it's Matt, Bill, and Flip, dude. I think
is going to be Justin Fields.
I honestly think
that's who it's going to be.
So let me ask this question. If that's who it is, if it's Matt, if it's Bill Lazor, and it's Flip, right, and then Ryan Pace in there a little bit every now and then, how can those three guys get on the same page and draft one guy? And go for one quarterback,
because they all from that Eagle system.
But it ain't no way. It ain't no way, Will. It ain't no way, bro. it ain't no way they can all be on the same page. I guarantee you, man, you got too many people involved in the situation.
I mean, it's got to defer back to Nagy, right? I mean,
he gets the final
guru.
Say,
yeah. Yeah, he probably gets the final say. Coach. Supposed guru. Let's give him. Right. Don't give him that. Don't give him that.
I did this.
Yet.
I did this.
Yeah, that, he did the quote. He did air quotes. He did the air quotes.
That's cool. That's
fourth
cool.
And fourth
cool.
The way you run it, you can't never live that down, bro. You're running Cordell Patterson up the gut on fourth.
Yeah, Barbie 2, Cordell Patterson.
I think you just go back to they all come from that coaching tree. They all come from the Andy Reid coaching tree. They all do. I mean, Flip is a byproduct from Doug Peterson, but it's that same. So you got to look what would Andy Reid want, because that's what they're going to – that's what they're going to want. And it might be a Justin Fields, and the second one might be Trey. I think it's this with them. I think it's Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and if they can't get them, it's Kellen Mond. I truly think that's who they want, because they came up on to McNabb, Mike Vick, Alex Smith, Pat Mahomes, Carson Wentz. These dudes can run. So they ain't looking for just a pure statue. They're looking for someone who can throw, who can move. If you look at the template.
Like Trubisky.
Yeah, but I mean, Trubisky couldn't read a defense.
No, I know.
Right.
So
terrible.
That's who I think that's the mold they like. They like a guy who can throw, but a guy who also can run. Just based on that Andy Reid coaching tree.
I'm just going to cross my fingers for Fields, because I think that's best case scenario for the Bears.
Hey, hopefully he drops. Maybe he just starts dropping for whatever reason.
Eric Rhodes nice. Epilepsy. Yeah.
If he drops to like 10 or 12,
we
then
can trade with the Cowboys. Yeah,
we could trade up then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All we got to do is wait and see.
That's right.
Yeah. Thursday. We almost there, man. Somebody's going to drop, bro. I honestly think somebody's going to drop out of the top 10. I don't think all five of these guys are going to go in the top 10.
I agree.
Somebody's going to drop.
There's never really been an NFL draft where that many quarterbacks are taken in the top 10.
No. I don't think it's ever.
Yeah, probably not ever, yeah.
I don't think it's ever happened.
It's even rare that five guys went in the first round. What, in 83, you had Dan Marino. He went like 17, remember?
Yeah. Yeah, even that crazy draft with when they had all those quarterbacks, most of them suck. It was the one that had Tim Couch and McNabb, Culpepper, Achilles Smith. We drafted K. McNabb.
Yeah.
Still wasn't top 10. Remember that? Yeah. I thought he was going to be cold too, man.
It was all the way bad.
I was like, yeah, the UCLA, man, he's going to be a baller, dude. Nope. Yeah, so I don't think all these guys are going to go in the top 10. I think that's the media hyping it up. I think the first three are going to be quarterbacks, and they might be a tumble after that, man.
Yep, I'm right there with you.
Yeah,
I agree.
I'm really looking forward to watching on Thursday.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah. and the good news is that Roger Goodell has the free reign to hug people, apparently. So
right, which is...
Yeah, that was a news story. Crazy. That's weird, right?
Yeah.
What kind of news story is that? Oh, he can hug people.
I thought the headline was going to end at, oh, Roger Goodell got vaccinated, but it was like, he was vaccinated, so now he can hug the best. I was like, oh, okay.
As if that mattered.
Right, yeah.
No one cares, Roger.
Yeah, right. No one, yeah. We'd rather you just stay remote like you did last year.
He wants people to care. I'm Roger Goodell. You can hug. Maybe they're just happy they got a freaking gap to the NFL, man. They don't care about you. They hug a statue.
Right. Awesome.
But it's almost here, man.
Yeah.
It's that time, fellas. It's that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks so much for doing this collab. This has been a lot of fun.
Hey, yes, no problem, man. We appreciate you for being on the show. You know what I'm saying? Round of applause. Big Kyle, man. We appreciate you, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for having us on yours, man.
And thank you for having us on, man. We definitely appreciate it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, so where can all my listeners find you guys and your podcast?
All right.
Well, you can find me at 79 Ill Will on them Twitter streets.
And if you're looking for Dan Goodwin, you can look for me at Dan Goodwin III. That's Roman numeral III, not three. In the Roman numeral. And then of course the podcast, we got a Twitter handle for that as well. It's at @3Kings_Midway. So three right. Kings of the Midway.
And if you're looking for me, I could be found at Nes_DV15.
And then for all you three Kings listeners, I'm at Furious George 94. Furious George, like the children's show, but with an F at the beginning.
There you go.
Is Furious George going to be furious on Thursday?
Probably.
He is Davis Mills.
He might be Davis Mills. Davis Mills,
Kyle Trask. I definitely will. Yeah. Guaranteed. Awesome. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, man. We had a good time, too, man. Sounds good. Anytime.
Anytime.